This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Material is selected with the interests of its audiences in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Hello, and welcome to the African American Experience, a program celebrating the artistic, cultural, and historic contributions of African Americans. This program has been created and produced by Audio Journal's Roy Allen Project to carry on the work and vision of its namesake. Roy Allen was an extraordinary human being who deeply touched the lives of his family, his friends, and his colleagues. He was a trailblazer for African Americans in the fields of theater, radio, and television. In carrying on Roy's vision to inspire the African American community to a sense of pride and power in its achievements and to share those achievements with all the community, we present the African American Experience with your host, Tina E. Gaffney. Hello, everyone. And since in the last episode, we talked about making connections, like I always say, to explore, connect, create, and inspire, I thought we would definitely talk about, since I just had an African-American man come close to the moon, we're going to talk about a lady who did some pretty amazing things before him, Mae C. Jemison. Mae Carol Jemison, who was born on October the 17th, 1956, is an African-American engineer, physician, and former NASA astronaut. She became the first African-American woman to travel into space when she served as a mission specialist aboard the Space Shuttle Endeavour in 1992. Jemison joined NASA's Astronaut Corps in 1987 and was selected for the STS-47 mission, during which the Endeavour orbited the Earth for nearly 8 days on September the 12th through the 20th, 1992. She was born in Decatur, Alabama. She received her education at Stanford University, where she got her BA and BS, and Cornell University, where she got her MD. Her time in space was 7 days, 22 hours, 30 minutes. She was selected for the NASA Group 12 in 1987. The mission was STS-47, and she retired in March of 1993. Jefferson left NASA in 1993 and founded a technology research company. She later formed a nonprofit educational foundation and, through the foundation, is the principal of the 100-year Starship Project funded by DARPA. Jemison has also written several books for children and appeared on television, including in a 1993 episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation. She holds several honorary doctorates and has been inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame and the International Space Hall of Fame. Merrill K. Jemison was born in Decatur, Alabama, on October 17, 1956, the youngest of three children of Charlie Jemison and Dorothy Jemison, née Green. Her father was a maintenance supervisor for a charity organization, and her mother worked most of her career as an elementary school teacher of English and math at the Ludwig von Beethoven Elementary School in Chicago, Illinois. The family first lived in the Woodlawn and later the Morgan Park neighborhoods. Jemison knew from a young age that she wanted to study science and someday go into space. The television show Star Trek, and in particular African-American actress Nichelle Nichols' portrayal of Lieutenant Uhura, further stoked her interest in space. Jemison enjoyed studying nature and human physiology, using her observations to learn more about science. Although her mother encouraged her curiosity, and both her parents were supportive of her interest in science, she did not always see the same support from her teachers. When Jemison told a kindergarten teacher she wanted to be a scientist when she grew up, the teacher assured and assumed to her she was really saying she wanted to be a nurse. Seeing a lack of female astronauts during the Apollo missions also frustrated Jemison. She later recalled, quote, "Everybody was thrilled about space, but I remember being really irritated that there were no women astronauts." Jemison began studying ballet at the age of 9 and entered high school at 12 years old, where she joined the cheerleading team and the modern dance club. Jemison had a great love for dance from a young age. She learned several styles of dance, including African and Japanese, as well as ballet, jazz, and modern dance. As a child, Jemison had aspirations of becoming a professional dancer. At the age of 14, she auditioned for the leading role of Maria in West Side Story. She did not get the leading role, but was selected as a background dancer. After graduating from Chicago's Morgan Park High School in 1973, Jemison entered Stanford University at the age of 16. Although she was young to be leaving home for college, Jemison later said it did not faze her at all because she was naive and stubborn enough. There were very few other African-American students in Jemison's classes, and she continued to experience discrimination from her teachers. In an interview with the Des Moines Register in 2008, Jemison said that it was difficult to go to Stanford at 16, but that her youthful arrogance may have helped her. She asserted that some arrogance is necessary for women and minorities to be successful in a white male-dominated society. At Stanford, Jemison served as head of the Black Students Union. She also choreographed a musical and dance production called Out of the Shadows. During her senior year in college, she struggled with the choice between going to medical school or pursuing a career as a professional dancer after graduation. She graduated from Stanford in 1977, receiving a B.S. degree in chemical engineering and a B.A. degree in African and African-American studies. While at Stanford, she also pursued studies related to her childhood interest in space and first considered applying to NASA. Jemison attended Cornell Medical School and during her training traveled to Cuba to conduct a study funded by the American Medical Student Association, and to Thailand, where she worked at a Cambodian refugee camp. She also worked for flying doctors stationed in East Africa. During her years at Cornell, Jemison continued to study dance by enrolling in classes at the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. After graduating with an M.D. degree in 1981, she interned at Los Angeles County, USC Medical Center in 1982, and worked as a general practitioner for Ross Luz Medical Group. Jemison joined the staff of the Peace Corps in 1983 and served as a medical officer until 1985. She was responsible for the health of Peace Corps volunteers serving in Liberia and Sierra Leone. Jemison supervised the Peace Corps pharmacy, laboratory, and medical staff, as well as providing medical care, writing self-care manuals, and developing and implementing guidelines for health and safety topics. She also worked with the Centers for Disease Control, helping with research for various vaccines. Upon returning to the United States after serving in the Peace Corps, Jemison settled in Los Angeles, California. In Los Angeles, she entered into private practice and took graduate-level engineering courses, inspired by the flights of Sally Ride and Dion Buford in 1983. Jemison applied to the astronaut program in October of 1985, after NASA postponed the selection of new candidates following the Space Shuttle Challenger disaster in 1986, Jemison reapplied in 1987. She was chosen out of roughly 2,000 applicants for 15 slots in NASA Astronaut Group 12, the first selected after Challenger. The Associated Press covered her as the first African-American woman astronaut in 1987. CBS featured Jemison as one of the country's most eligible singles on Best Catches, a television special hosted by Felicia Rashad and Rob Weller in 1989. Jemison's work with NASA before her shuttle launch included launch support activities at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida and verification of shuttle computer software in the Shuttle Avionics Integration Laboratory, or SAIL. On September 28, 1989, she was selected to join the STS-47 crew as Mission Specialist 4, and was also designated Science Mission Specialist, a new astronaut role being tested by NASA to concentrate on scientific experiments. Jemison flew her only space mission from September the 12th to September the 20th, 1992, as one of the 7-member crew aboard the Space Shuttle Endeavour on mission STS-47, a cooperative mission between the United States and Japan, as well as the 50th shuttle mission. Jemison logged 190 hours, 30 minutes, 23 seconds in space and orbited the Earth 127 times. The crew was split into two shifts, with Jemison assigned to the blue shift. Throughout the 8-day mission, she began communications on her shift with the salute hailing frequencies open, a quote from Star Trek's Commander Uhura, portrayed by Nichelle Nichols. Jemison took a poster from the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater along with her on the flight. She also took a West African statuette and a photo of pioneering aviator Bessie Coleman, the first African-American woman with an international pilot license. STS-47 carried the Space Lab Japan Module, a cooperative mission between the United States and Japan that included 43 Japanese and United States life science and materials processing experiments. Jemison and Japanese astronaut Mamoru Mohon were trained to use the Autogenic Feedback Training Exercise, or the AFTE, a technique developed by Patricia S. Cowings that uses biofeedback and autogenic training to help patients monitor and control
their physiology as a possible treatment for motion sickness, anxiety, and stress-related disorders. Aboard the Space Lab Japan module, Jemison tested NASA's fluid therapy system, a set of procedures and equipment to produce water for injection developed by Steramatics Corporation. She then used IV bags and a mixing method developed by Baxter Healthcare to use the water from the previous step to produce saline solution in space. Jemison was also a co-investigator of two bone cell research experiments. Another experiment she participated in was to induce female frogs to ovulate, fertilize the eggs, and then see how tadpoles developed in zero gravity. Jemison resigned from NASA in March of 1993 to start a company. NASA training manager and author Homer Hickam, who had trained Jemison for her flight, later expressed some regret that she had departed. Jemison served on the board of directors of the World Sickle Cell Foundation from 1990 to 1992. In 1993, she founded the Jemison Group, Inc., a consulting firm which considers the socio-cultural impact of technological advancements and design. Jemison also founded the Dorothy Jemison Foundation for Excellence, naming it in honor of her mother. One of the projects of the foundation is The Earth We Share, a science camp for students aged 12 to 16. Founded in 1994, camps have been held at Dartmouth College, Colorado School of Mines, Shoape Rosemary Hall, and other sites in the United States, as well as internationally in South Africa, Tunisia, and Switzerland. Jemison stated that the goal of these 4-week-long residential programs is to increase scientific literacy by developing the students' abilities in both critical thinking and problem-solving. Students accomplish this by working in terms and teams and using the scientific methods and terms to identify and solve a real problem facing their communities. The Dorothy Jemison Foundation also sponsors other events and programs, including the Shaping the World Essay Competition, Listening to the Future, a survey program that targets obtaining opinions from students, Earth Online, an online chat room that allows students to safely communicate and discuss ideas on space and science, and the Reality Leads Fantasy Gala. Jemison was a professor of environmental studies at Dartmouth College from 1995 to 2002, where she directed the Jemison Institute for Advancing Technology in Developing Countries. In 1999, she also became an Andrew D. White Professor at Large at Cornell University. Jemison continues to advocate strongly in favor of science education and getting minority students interested in science. She is a member of various scientific organizations, such as the AMA, American Medical Association, the American Chemical Society, the Association of Space Explorers, and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. In 1999, Jemison founded BioSentient Corporation and obtained the license to commercialize AFTE, the technique she and Moon tested on themselves during STS-47. In 2012, Jemison made the winning bid for the DARPA 100-Year Starship Project through the Dorothy Jemison Foundation for Excellence, The Dorothy Jennison Foundation for Excellence was awarded a $500,000 grant for further work. The new organization maintained the organizational name 100 Years Starship. Jennison is the current principal of the 100 Years Starship. In 2018, she collaborated with Bayer Crop Science and the National 4-H Council for the initiative named Science Matters, which was aimed at encouraging young children to understand and pursue agricultural sciences. Jemison's first book, Find Where the Wind Goes, in 2001, is a memoir of her life written for children. She describes her childhood, her time at Stanford, in the Peace Corps, and as an astronaut. School Library Journal found the stories about her earlier life to be the most appealing. Book Report found that the autobiography gave a realistic view into her interactions with her professors, whose treatment of her was not based on her intelligence, but on stereotypes of women of color. Her A True Book series of four children's books, published in 2013, is co-authored with Dana Mason Rao. Each book in the series has a Find the Truth challenge, true or false questions, answers to which are revealed at the end of the story. School Library Journal found the series to be properly tantalizing surveys of the solar system, but criticized the inclusion of a few outdated theories in physics and astronomy. LeVar Burton learned that Jemison was an avid Star Trek fan and asked May Jemison if she would be interested in being on the show Star Trek The Next Generation. In 1993, Jemison appeared as Lieutenant Palmer in Second Chances, an episode of the science fiction television series Star Trek The Next Generation, becoming the first real-life astronaut to appear on Star Trek. From 1995 to 2005, Jemison was appointed an Andrew Dixon White Professor at Large at Cornell University. Jemison is an active public speaker who appears before private and public groups promoting science and technology. Quote, "Having been an astronaut gives me a platform," says Jemison, "but I'd blow it if I just talked about the shuttle," end quote. Jemison uses her platform to speak out on the gap in the quality of health care between the United States and the developing world, saying that, quote, "Martin Luther King, Jr. didn't just have a dream, he got things done," end quote. Jemison has also appeared as host and technical consultant of the science series World of Wonder, which aired on the Discovery Channel from 1994 to 1998. In 2006, Jemison participated in African American Lives, a PBS television miniseries hosted by Henry Louis Gates Jr. that traces a family history of eight famous African Americans using historical research and genetic techniques. For those of you who may not be aware, Henry Louis Gates Jr. hosts the series Finding Your Roots on PBS. Jemison found, to her surprise, that she is 13% East Asian in her genetic makeup. She also learned that some of her paternal ancestors were enslaved people at a plantation in Talladega County, Alabama. Jemison participated in the Red Dress Heart Truth fashion show wearing Lynn Devon during the 2007 New York Fashion Week to help raise money to fight heart disease. In May of the same year, she was a graduation commencement speaker and only the 11th person in the 52-year history of Harvey Mudd College to be awarded an honorary DE degree. On February the 17th of 2008, Jemison was the featured speaker for the 100th anniversary of the founding of Alpha Kappa Alpha, the first sorority established by African-American college women. Jemison paid tribute to Alpha Kappa Alpha by carrying on the sorority's banner with her on her shuttle flight. Her spacesuit is a part of the sorority's National Traveling Centennial Exhibit. Jemison is an honorary member of Alpha Kappa Alpha. Jemison participated with First Lady Michelle Obama in a forum for promising girls in the Washington, D.C. public schools in March 2009. In 2014, Mae Jemison also appeared at Wayne State University for their annual Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Tribute Luncheon. In 2016, she partnered with the Bayer Corporation to promote and advance science literacy in schools, emphasizing hands-on experimentation. She took part in Michigan State University's lecture series, Slavery to Freedom, An American Odyssey, in February of 2017. In May of 2017, Jemison gave the commencement speech at Rice University. She discussed the 100-year plan, science and education, and other topics at Western Michigan University, also in May of 2017. In 2017, LEGO released the Women of NASA set, with minifigures of Jemison, Margaret Hamilton, Sally Ride, and Nancy Grace Roman. The Google Doodle on March the 8th of 2019, International Women's Day, featured a quote from Jemison, "Never be limited by other people's limited imaginations." Jemison built a dance studio in her home and has choreographed and produced several shows of modern jazz and African dance. In the spring of 1996, Jemison filed a complaint against a Texas police officer accusing him of police brutality during a traffic stop that ended in her arrest. She was pulled over by Nassau Bay police officer Henry Hughes for allegedly making an illegal U-turn and arrested after Hughes learned of an outstanding warrant on Jemison for a speeding ticket. In the process of arresting her, the officer twisted her wrist and forced her to the ground, as well as having her walk barefoot from the patrol car into the police station. In her complaint, Jemison said the officer physically and emotionally mistreated her. Jemison's attorney said she believed she had already paid the speeding ticket years before. She spent several hours in jail and was treated at an area hospital after release for deep bruises and a head injury. The Nassau Bay officer was suspended with pay pending an investigation, but the police investigation cleared him of wrongdoing. She filed a lawsuit against the city of Nassau Bay and the officers. Her honors and awards include the 1998 Essence Science and Technology Award, the 1990 Gamma Sigma Sigma Woman of the Year, in 1991, McCall's 10 Outstanding Women for the 90s, in 1992, the Johnson Publication Black Achievement Trailblazers Award, in 1992, the Ebony Black Achievement Award, in 1993, the National Women's Hall of Fame Award, in 1993, Ebony Magazine 50 Most Influential Women, in 1993, the Kilby Science Award, in 1993, the Montgomery Fellow Award from Dartmouth College, in 1993, People Magazine's 50 Most Beautiful People in the World, in 1993, the Turner Trumpet Award, in 2002, listed among the 100 greatest African Americans, according to Molefe Kete Asante, in 2002, the Texas Women's Hall of Fame inductee, In 2003, the Intrepid Award by the National Organization for Girls. In 2004, the International Space Hall of Fame. In 2005, the National Audubon Society Rachel Carson Award. In 2017, the Buzz Aldrin Space Pioneer Award. In 2019, the Florida Southern College Honorary Chancellor. In 2021, the Sylvanus Thayer Award from the United States Military Academy. Institutions, 1992, the Macy Jemison Science and Space Museum, Wilbur Wright College, Chicago, Illinois. That same year, 1992, Macy Jemison Academy, an alternative public school in Detroit, Michigan. In 2001, Macy Jemison School, an elementary public school in Hazelcrest, Illinois. In 2007, Bluford Drew Jemison STEM Academy, a public charter school in Baltimore, Maryland. In 2010, the Bluford Drew Jemison STEM Academy West, a middle high school in Baltimore, Maryland. And in 2013, Jemison High School in Huntsville, Alabama. Her honorary doctorates include, in 1991, she received two. A Doctor of Letters from Winston-Salem College, North Carolina, and a Doctor of Science from Lincoln College in Pennsylvania. In 2000, she received a Doctor of Humanities, Princeton University. In 2006, she received a Doctor of Science from Dartmouth College. And in 2005, she also received a Doctor of Science, Wilson College, North Carolina. In 2007, she received Doctor of Engineering from Harvey Mudd College and Doctor of Engineering from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. In 2008, a Doctor of Humanities from DePaul University. The following year, in 2009, a Doctor of Engineering, Polytechnic Institute of NYU. In 2019, a Doctor of Humane Letters from Florida Southern College, and a Doctor of Humane Letters from the University of Arizona. In 2020, Doctor Honoris Causa from KU Leuven. In 2022, Doctor of Science, Washington University in St. Louis, and a Doctor of Science, Clarkson University. And in 2023, a Doctor of Engineering, University College in Dublin. Some of her appearances have been in media: Star Trek The Next Generation, 1993, Lieutenant Palmer episode, Second Chances. Susan B. Anthony slept here, 1995, herself, Star Trek 30 Years and Beyond, in 1996, herself, The New Explorers, 1998, episode Endeavor, How William Shatner Changed the World, 2005, herself, African American Lives, 2006, herself, No Gravity, 2011, herself, The Real, 2016, herself, Moon Girl and a Devil Dinosaur, 2023, The Voice of Skipster, episode Skip Adolescence, and some of her publications: Mae Jemison, 2001, SEE, The Future, Science, Engineering, and Education, Hanover, North New Hampshire, Dartmouth College. She contributed the piece Outer Space, The Worldly Frontier to the 2003 anthology Sisterhood is Forever, the Women's Anthology for a New Millennium, edited by Robin Morgan. Her books include Mae Jemison, Find Where the Wind Goes, Moments from My Life, Mae Jemison, Rue Dana Meechan, Journey Through Our Solar System, two books, Dr. Mae Jemison, and 100 Year Starship. Mae Jemison, 2013, Discovering New Planets, two books, Dr. Mae Jemison, and 100 Year Starship. Mae Jemison, Discovering New Planets, True Books, Dr. Mae Jemison, and 100 Year Starship. In 2013, two of those, Exploring the Sun, True Books, and in 2013, Mae Jemison, The 100 Year Starship, True Books, Dr. Mae Jemison, and 100 Year Starship. And that's just a taste of what this extraordinary woman is capable of doing. Now, one of the things I also love about doing this is I love hearing different perspectives about moments in time like this. And I also think it's highly important to know about different perspectives about her historical events, as I like to say. And this one, I was researching and found it quite intriguing. Former astronaut Mae Jemison brings her message down to Earth. Shooting star. Oh my goodness. It would have been so charmingly naive, this tale Mae Jemison tells of her early celestial dreams, if it weren't also a parable for the spirit that helped make them come true. As fantastical as it sounds, her pioneering journey aboard the space shuttle Endeavour was fueled by a childhood passion for Star Trek. It's made for TV adventures, stimulating a hunger for real ones in her mind. Who cared that in reality, every U.S. astronaut was white and male at the time? She looked no further than the USS Enterprise, after all, right there. On the screen, week in and week out, who could miss Lieutenant Uhura, the starship's stylish, self-assured communications officer, and an African-American woman, no less? For little Mae, a child of the 60s, that make-believe image was more potent than any dispiriting fact of real life. Images show us possibilities, the Stanford graduate says. A lot of times, fantasy is what gets us through to reality. A quarter of a century after Lieutenant Uhura boldly went where no African American had gone before, her protege returned the favor. Before blasting into orbit aboard the Endeavour in 1992, Jemison, the first woman of color in space, called actress Michelle Nichols to thank her for the inspiration. And then, she made a promise. Despite NASA's rigid protocol, Jemison would begin each shift with a salute that only a Trekkie could appreciate. Hailing frequencies open, she could be heard repeating throughout the 8-day mission. Now, the president of her own consulting firm, its mission to find high-tech salves for the affecting and afflictions that were in the current developing nations, Dr. Mae Carol Jemison is the Lieutenant Uhura of her generation, as she prepared to return to Stanford to deliver the university's 105th commencement address, June the 16th, it was with the realization that her own achievements have helped redefine the image of modern-day scientists in the real world, not just in space-age fiction. An engineer, physician, educator, and jazz dancer, Jemison is keenly aware of the obstacles that women and minorities must overcome to succeed in fields that have long been exclusionary. At 39, she is angrier than she once was about how inherently unfair that is, about how impossibility, superb members of those excluded groups are expected to be in order to prove that merit, not entitlement, won them an opportunity. Jemison states, if we can allow some people to be average, how come a minority or a woman that comes into a particular job has to be the absolute cream of the crop, end quote, asked Jemison, who candidly acknowledged that affirmation and affirmative action helped secure her a spot in Stanford's class of 1977. But Jemison, in spite of, or because of, all the hurdles she has had to overcome and make sure that she keeps that door open for other people, she made sure that all of her appearances matter. When cynics took aim at another popular TV series, The Cosby Show, she was deeply pained by the implication that a happy middle-class African-American family was somehow the stuff of futuristic fancy. Jemison says, quote, nothing hurts me more than when I run into a little girl or a little boy who asks me how they should keep from being limited because they're African-American or they grew up poor, she said. I think a lot of that comes from the images that we provide to them, images that concentrate on one stereotypic way of life. When a 6 or 7 year old or 8 year old child asks me, how do you get over this? That's a question they've been taught to ask. Sitting in a conference room at her Houston firm, the Jemison Group, Inc., she radiates poise. Her sentences are precise and methodical, but she also erupts into bursts of self-deprecating hilarity. Tall and striking, her hair short and natural, she appears refreshingly unadorned. Almost no makeup or jewelry, other than a gold hoop in each ear and a rubber band around her right wrist. As Jemison is quick to point out, she is far from a one-dimensional NASA-molded African-American Barbie doll. On her shuttle flight, she brought along an Alvin Ailey dance poster, a West African statuette, and she also brought with her, in terms of representation, she ended up being the manager for the Endeavor mission. Although he described Jemison's 1993 resignation as amicable, he acknowledged that the space agency was not thrilled to see her go. Quote, NASA has spent a lot of money training her. She also filled a niche. Also, being a woman of color filling that niche, says Hickman, now the training manager for NASA's space station efforts. But he added that it would be counterproductive to stand in her way. I see May as sort of an all-around ambassador, says Hickman. She just really wanted to make a connection with the world. Born in Alabama and raised on the south side of Chicago by a carpenter father and a schoolteacher mother, young May spent her childhood learning to make connections to the world by studying the patterns of the stars, flowers, trees, ants, even pustulant wounds. It sounds a little gross, but I was fascinated with pus, she said, recalling a splinter that infected her thumb as a little girl. Like many of her experiences, it became a springboard for exploration. I ran and showed it to my mother, and she was telling me it was pus, Jemison continued, laughing at the memory. I was like, well, what is that? And I ended up doing this whole project, reading about pus. My mother, she recalled, scaled to this day, retains a dreamy sense of confidence. It is the same unbridled imagination that allowed her to envision herself in space at a time when Lieutenant Uhura, for all her technological prowess, was still better known for performing TV's first interracial kiss. Without diminishing society's obvious inequities, Demison remains convinced that only the real true limits are the ones we impose on ourselves, or permit others to impose upon us. As a result of that, she got a Michael Jordan jersey, artifacts designed to promote the idea that space is a birthright for all of us on the planet. It is a view of the world that ultimately left her feeling somewhat confined at NASA, where space missions are built on specialization and training depends on the repetition of narrowly prescribed tasks. May's personality was too big for that, says Homer Hickam, her training manager. She just has a different twist on life, says Jemison's closest friend, Linda Bradford, who ran a children's program at the Chicago Museum of Science and Industry. If she saw it, and she wanted to experience it, there was no barrier to her achieving it. She felt the world was her laboratory. Those experiences helped lay the foundation for Jemison's most recent endeavors, both with her for-profit Jemison Group in Houston and with her non-profit Jemison Institute at Dartmouth College, where she is a member of the Environmental Studies faculty. She is currently at work on Alafia, meaning good health, in Yoruba, a satellite-based telecommunications system designed to improve the delivery of healthcare information in remote corners of West Africa. She has also teamed up with a South African firm, Suncor, to develop a solar energy system capable of strong power for nighttime use and periods of increased demand. Her blend of social concern and technical know-how make her one of the most interdisciplinary people you can find, says Ross Virginia, chairman of Dartmouth's Environmental Studies Program. Typically, he said, efforts to improve conditions in developing countries concentrate on reverting to simpler ways of life. Jemison's work is unique in that she gets people involved in discovery. Jemison's quote, I think it's so vitally important that all people in this world are involved in the process of discovery, says Jemison, who was named in the 1993 edition of People Magazine's 50 Most Beautiful People in the World. At first, Jemison thought the distinction was goofy, but then decided it would serve a greater purpose. We need to change the image of who does science, she said. That's important, not only for folks who want to go into science, but for the folks who fund science. Lately, Jemison has been in the public eye for reasons not entirely of her choosing. On February the 24th, a police officer stopped her for a minor traffic infraction in Nassau Bay, the tiny southeast Houston suburb that has been her home for 8 years. After learning that she had an outstanding warrant for an old speeding ticket, the officer pulled out his handcuffs and began placing her under arrest. In a formal complaint, Jemison accused the officer of physically and emotionally mistreating her, twisting her arms and throwing her face down on the pavement. Although the officer was cleared of wrongdoing by his department, Jemison insisted a citizen shouldn't be manhandled and abused for a traffic stop. Jemison's return to Stanford puts her back in a more welcome spotlight. She admits to feeling a bit weakened about the notion of facing her old professors, but she also acknowledges the responsibilities that come with her achievements, a duty to pass on some of the inspiration that helped catapult her into the cosmos. Public figures can be images, she said, images of what other folks can be or how they might live their lives. Jemison thinks it's important to make known designing technology with human needs at heart and getting people with a stake in the outcome involved in a design. Although some of her projects are still in their infancy, she's a strong, credible voice. Jemison, who also runs an international science camp called The Earth We Share, believes her ultimate mission is to democratize technology. She had a string of a handful of professors who seemed uncomfortable with an African-American woman in their class. Still, she believes those experiences made her a stronger person, launching her on a decade of scholarship and wanderlust, during which she graduated from Cornell Medical College while applying her skills in Cuba, Kenya, Thailand, and later as Peace Corps Medical Officer, which she served her term in Sierra Leone and Liberia. Now, this article was by Jesse Katz, who was the Houston Bureau Chief in 1996 of the Los Angeles Times. And I must say, even though she received a degree in chemical engineering and fulfilled the requirements for another in African American studies, Jemison recalls her Stanford years as wonderful and very positive, but still knew there were instructors that were not comfortable with having her in their class. And she also said that her precociousness put her on a fast track in school, so that she was only 16 when she arrived at Stanford, the university that attracted her, she says, only half in jest, because of its back-to-back Rose Bowl victories in the early 70s. Once again, she seemed almost oblivious to the academic and social challenges that might have intimidated a less headstrong student. I was naive and stubborn enough that it didn't faze me, she said. It's not until recently that I realized that 16 was particularly young, or that there were even any issues associated with my parents having enough confidence in me to allow me to go that far away from home. Now, of all of that is something that one person can do, I always say to people, if one person did all that, just imagine what you can do with your dreams that you want to do. You know, it's an awfully wonderful thing I always tell people, that sometimes you hear about the things people achieve in order to inspire you to go after what you wish to achieve and to continue with your pursuit and your, you know, desires and your hopes and your dreams. When I first heard about all of this, the one thing I thought was really intriguing about Mae Jemison was that she was a physician and a scientist. In addition to attending Stanford and Cornell, she also served as a medical officer in the Peace Corps. In June of 87, she achieved a lifelong dream when she became the first African-American woman to even be admitted into NASA's astronaut training program. She kept making history, or as I like to say, her story, again on September the 12th, 1992, when she flew into space aboard the Endeavour on mission STS-47 and became the first African-American woman in space. In recognition of her accomplishments, she's received several awards and doctorates, and after all of those things, she continues to work as a scientist and a public speaker. You know, and I think it's interesting that her sister, Ada Jemison Bullock, became a child psychiatrist, and her brother, Charles Jemison, is a real estate broker. So all very diversified in the roles they chose to pursue, which I think is very cool. Now, her talents and abilities throughout her early school years were spent considerably in the school library, reading about everything she could get her hands on about science, especially astronomy. And she became convinced as of that she wanted to pursue a career in biomedical engineering during her time at Morgan Park High School. She graduated in 1973 as a consistent honor student, then entered Stanford University on a National Achievement Scholarship. Once she had been in high school, Jemison was very involved in extracurricular activities at Stanford, including dance and theater, and served as head of the Black Student Union. She received a Bachelor of Science in Chemical Engineering from the university in 1977. I'm impressed because she's done all these things on all these levels, but they all fit into what she's eventually going to do. She keeps layering and building that foundation of hers, and I think that's fabulous. Once she got her medical degree, she interned at Los Angeles County University, a Southern California medical school, then worked as a general practitioner. Beginning in January of 1983, then she even joined the Peace Corps, and she was teaching and conducting medical research projects. And she also continued projects related to schistosomiasis, which is a parasitic disease, and a hepatitis B vaccine. The thing that I think is incredible is once she followed her return to the U.S. in 1985, she made a career change and decided to follow a dream she had nurtured for a long time. Being inspired by astronaut Sally Ride's historic 1983 spaceflight, she applied for NASA's astronaut training program that October. The Challenger disaster for January of 1986 delayed the selection process, but when she reapplied a year later, Jemison was one of the 15 candidates chosen from a field of about 2,000 people. And on June the 4th, Jemison became the first African-American woman in the astronaut training program. After more than a year of training, she became the first African-American female astronaut, earning the title of the Science Mission Specialist. So it's like I always say to people, keep those connections, keep them going, never, ever, 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 ever give up on your dream. Because the more you learn, the more you know. And don't forget, explore, connect, create, and inspire.
You have been listening to The African American Experience, a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. This program is brought to you in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. If you would like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone or iPad. I'm Tina E. Gaffney. Thank you for listening.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
WICN Public Radio is a proud partner of Audio Journal. Audio Journal provides news, information, and entertainment to visually and print-impaired residents of central Massachusetts. Audio Journal broadcasts are made possible through the use of a portion of WICN's broadcast frequency. 90.5 WICN is Worcester's only NPR affiliate and the voice of arts and culture in central Massachusetts. Visit WICN.org for more info.